Hi, you're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hey, and thanks for joining us today on Boggy Talk. It's May already.
That's crazy. That's all I'm going to say. May crazy.
It's going to be May. It's not going to be May.
I know, that's been in my
it's
head.
It's May.
Yeah.
It's May. So, yeah, the year's already flying by.
It has. It
almost
is.
Almost halfway into
yeah.
it.
Yeah, we're almost summertime. That's what's crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
It's warm.
It is. It's we skipped fast into the muggy here in Florida. So.
Yeah. Well, May, some events that we have coming up. We kind of purposely keep this church calendar like a little light because so much going on in people's lives.
Yeah, in the school. Yeah.
May is crazy. Yeah, into school. There's all the concerts, recitals, performances. Most sports
awards
are,
banquets.
School sports are kind of done ish, yeah. but there are already spring practices and things like that for the fall and. Yeah, but there's a lot. And graduation is happening.
And that affects your family
this year.
It does,
directly this year. Yeah. I have to go to graduation this year. I went last year, too, because we were close to a lot of seniors. But yeah, it's happening. It's a little surreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Well, speaking of graduation, we have Student Sunday coming up on May 18th.
Yes,
so that will be exciting. Two services,
the
9:30 and the 11.
Yep.
They will be
you
leading
come at
out
eight,
that
you're
day.
Just praying.
That's right.
There you go.
Or you can listen
stuffing
to
bulletins
the
or something. I don't know.
That's right.
I don't know what there is to
work.
Do at 8 o'clock.
Right. We got a list.
Yeah. So Student Sunday, and then we'll also there's a disaster relief training.
Oh yeah.
That we talked about actually last Sunday.
Yes.
And then also Memorial Day. So another Sunday before we'll have
two services that Sunday.
Yeah.
Just because we know a lot of people will be traveling, even though there's school after Memorial Day this year because the way the calendar
is. There has been a last few. It's kind of strange.
It's
like
weird.
Graduation's the week before, too.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
I don't know. But, you know, like, it's like fake school. Like, the teachers, don't come. Like, you know.
They have to get their 180 days in.
Yeah, basically. Mm.
So
somebody said that somewhere along the line.
I know.
That's right.
Yeah.
Find out who. Well, yeah, so
Chris Brown said that
in the Definitely
County,
he was
he?
Not him.
Okay.
No. I can just say, listen, I don't care.
He just determined whether or not they could read The Puppy Lost His Way or not, right? That is a Billy Madison reference.
Oh,
in case
boy.
You know it,
yeah,
so.
No, he's
I got to chill out in the
math science guy. Math science guy. No reading for him. Okay. But
What are going to be the this is what's like,
what will be
the movie references in 20 years, because I feel like the 90s are kind of like the last decade where there was this commonality.
Yeah,
culture.
The shared experience.
Now, you know, maybe the early 2000s, but our kids are growing up in this generation where everybody like
does their own thing.
Yeah. What are going to be the movie references that people
I don't know.
And everyone's in quotes.
Yeah, you could reference like Seinfeld. You could reference Adam Sandler movies, even like the Will Ferrell stuff.
Yeah, and well-known quotes
Ben Stiller
from
stuff.
Even like if you didn't watch The
Friends.
Office, might be the last.
Office,
like,
Office was probably
kind of the last one where even if you didn't watch it, you know there's some things from that. Yeah, I don't know what I'm so worried
like
about our culture now.
Like Netflix series, it's not really like movies now.
Yeah,
it's
more series, and there's not as much quotable. Just common things that people rewatch.
Well, or they're all watching like Bridgerton and you can't quote that
publicly. People are not going to be like,
maybe not in our circle,
yeah,
at least.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
That's so true.
Okay.
Oh, man. Well,
that's funny.
Transition
that's
there.
Sorry.
speaking of quotes,
Mr. Beast and.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
it's not
true.
Like quotable. Like, what does he say? Like,
there's stuff.
I mean,
I don't know it. Ryan Tran. They're all watching that.
I guess there will be cultural sayings.
Lots of YouTube.
Won't be as much reference to.
They were
media.
Tuesday. It just like.
Just changes so fast.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't keep up.
You're right.
Can't,
I don't know
I can't
that
remember.
There's. Yeah.
It'll just be slang. Yeah.
The all Bible. Right. That would be a good one.
That would be great.
That would be a good one.
Yes.
Let's start that trend.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Okay.
See if we can make it happen.
Sorry.
Well,
we
speaking of the Bible. We are in our second week now of Drift, and we kind of took a break from the series that we were doing.
Joshua.
Well, we finished Joshua. No.
Well, we're
took a break.
We're like
through 12.
Thank
this
you.
This is intermission. Yeah, yeah. This is intermission.
We're through where most people finish, Joshua. Yeah.
They're like, we're
they're
not
like,
ready.
Go to chapter 24.
Yeah, they're like, all right, so there's crazy room here. But,
lots of crazy
yeah.
things.
That is so true. I'm reading.
You know, the next series is called Not One Word, and I should make a joke and be like, most of you have not read one word of this passage.
The rest yeah. of it, yeah.
Coming to a sermon near you.
Okay, yeah, well, yeah. we'll look for that.
Yes, but we have taken a break.
Yeah,
yes.
So we're in Drift now, and that's a series that we're doing mainly based in Hebrews.
Mainly,
yeah. 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 And basically just kind of talking about that there's always a current going on, and people that are slowly kind of taken away with the current, like slow fade. Made me think of that.
Slow fade.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Casting, yeah. Crowns. I know yeah. you don't like
that. That is
Crowns,
a true song.
Reggie Joyner wrote a book, too, called Slow Fade, didn't he?
Oh, maybe so. He,
yeah, so another
was,
bad.
There you go.
Yeah,
like, yeah, yeah. Don't name your book after something that yeah. might happen to you.
Oh, dear. So, yeah.
I could be wrong about that.
I don't know if it was Reggie Joyner.
Let's ask ChatGPT.
There you go. I know okay, he wrote Missional Renaissance, but that's all I can think of right now.
All right.
What a like catchy title.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, Hebrews 2:1 was the verse that you talked about 2 weeks ago, and that a lot of this is hinging on. So that says, therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. So can you kind of unpack that a little bit more about what is drift?
Yeah, I don't think Reggie Joyner wrote the slow fade, by the way. So
sorry, Reggie.
I don't know why I said that. Anyway, maybe just because I was thinking about his slow fade.
His slow fade, that's
yeah.
right.
Mm. Low taper fade. That's a quote that a lot of
yeah,
our guys say.
There you
say.
Go.
Yeah.
Low taper fade.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, yeah. So Hebrews 2:1 and the drift, and I think the Bible says it, and we can all see it. People who drift away from Christianity, you know, and Paul's saying, hey, or sorry, not Paul, the author of Hebrews. I actually don't think it's Paul. I think it's Apollos, but
yeah.
we don't know. Most yeah, people would know. Say it's Paul. But I'm so used to talking
yeah.
about the New Testament letters and saying Paul.
Yeah,
wrote
so many. Yeah. yeah, it is. You have. I
slipped
Hebrews
up in the 8 o'clock service and said that, and
oh,
somebody
really?
Caught it. Yeah.
Oh, funny.
Yeah.
yeah, talking about it in life group, I keep saying, and the author of Hebrews says, yeah, yeah because yeah. we don't know. So.
Yeah. What? What was I talking about? Sorry.
What is
wait,
drift?
Is this a metaphor? Is the last 2 minutes where you're saying a metaphor
keep
for drift?
From the topic at hand. What is drift exactly? What you
oh,
said?
Oh, yeah, yeah. yeah. So, yeah. So, they're, so people are drifting.
That's so funny.
Oh,
sorry. Well, I think, you know.
We've talked about Bridgerton.
I know.
We've talked
just,
about.
Just, listen, this is. This is what happens on an afternoon recording.
Yes,
I think,
that is,
yeah.
yeah
so we so easily go into neutral. And, you know, think about the analogy of being on a raft or being in the ocean. You know, if you're not doing something, a current is pulling. If you're not doing anything, a current is pulling you some way, somewhere. And so that is what happens in our faith a lot of times. People don't
Thank
always.
You for saving
there you go. Like, drift is usually.
Just like Justin saved me.
Right.
We need Jesus to
right.
save us.
Drift is usually unintentional, and you know, and so in Christianity, most people,
yeah,
kind of wake up, you know, like they wake up in a place like, and think, oh no, I've drifted from that, but it happened because usually the intention was unintentional,
right?
And so, I mean, I think, you know, as we talk about how people drift,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, we talk so much about being gospel centered,
mm-hmm.
and Paul's saying in that, unless you know. How can you neglect such a great salvation? Like,
yeah.
how can you not
mm-hmm.
just think about this all the time?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, the Son of God, mm-hmm. came for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how? And you better not, because
yeah.
if you don't, then
mm-hmm.
you will drift away from it. And
yeah.
I think, you know, as you're talking about drift, like, people drift away from it. Not, again, I think, yes, there are the stories where somebody... just wrecks their life. But most people don't wreck their life by
mm-hmm.
like going to Vegas on a cocaine bender for the
right.
weekend. Like,
yeah.
it's
most people, it's like, I'm going to start drinking and wow, this has an effect on me and has kind of control of me and I'm going to keep drinking
mm-hmm.
or, you know, and I'm not anti-alcohol, but I'm just saying that
yeah.
happens to people.
Or this
or,
relationship.
Yeah, this relationship.
Like,
we're
just
flirty.
Friends, it's casual and it's, you know, but then it becomes,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's usually these slow progressions. Yeah.
Yes.
I think in the same way, like, I mean, some people do intentionally set out to be like, I don't care.
Right.
You know, most of the time it starts unintentionally.
Yeah.
And I think the opposite of like drifting away, like you also don't just neutrally drift towards Christ. And so, yeah, you know, I think this is a big piece for us to understand, is that we don't, no one just wakes up one day and is magically, instantly godly. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't stumble into godliness. You don't stumble into Christ-likeness. You don't stumble into all of a sudden producing the fruit of the Spirit. It happens because your eyes are on Jesus and
you're
moving.
And one of us lay hands on you.
That's right. Yeah. And be the magic anointing. You know? But it is like there's an intentionality.
Hope that doesn't show up on YouTube before.
Right.
Sorry.
I won't put that.
But it's an intentionality in drifting and moving towards Christ.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I think that's what we have to understand, is that there really is no coasting in neutral.
Yeah, I think you're hitting on a very important thing, because even you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, right? Mm-hmm. And you think like, man, this is this radical conversion. And yet then he spends 3 years up in Jerusalem learning, like, you know, or wherever he went, not Jerusalem, but he spends 3 years learning. I think it's important to recognize that we like to dramatize both sides, right?
Yeah.
But usually it is this intentionality. You know, and I think we like to get caught up in a lot. Even this past Sunday, I was talking about perseverance of the saints, and it was like, do I believe in perseverance of the saints? Yes. Who are the saints? The ones who persevere. Like, you know, I think that's where we get into speculation about people's salvation, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But like, what we can clearly see is people drift away from the gospel.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we can clearly see what the church is called to do about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and usually it like you said, it's that slow. I was listening to a sermon, I'm in like Matthew 12, and they were talking about the seed, and it was a David Platt sermon, but he was talking about how the thorns slowly choke things out. And he was talking about that with people's eyes on money, and you know, that it's always just the slow, like your attention is going to something else, and it's just it's very slow, which is so dangerous because it's harder to recognize, especially when it's in yourself. And so it's, you know, just something to always definitely be aware of. And you gave some great examples throughout the last couple of weeks of how that, you know, happens to all of us. 2 weeks ago, you mentioned that you kind of made it sound like if someone had drifted and wasn't coming back, that maybe they weren't saved to begin with. So is that how you feel? Like, what did you mean by that?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think when you look at all of Scripture, even Jesus's words, but also Paul's words, and then, of course, the author of Hebrews, it seems like the gospel produces fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So using the parable of the talents or soil, which you reference, you know, it seems like only one of those is really saved, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think people debate, you know, whether it's two or not. I think that there is certainly what the author of Hebrews is talking about is those who were not, they heard it and they've neglected it. And so they did not believe it. And there are examples in the Bible of people who believe, I put that in quotes if you're not watching, but then they don't actually follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't saving belief. It was just like they were wanting something from Jesus. Mm-hmm. So I do think that those who just drift and don't come back, there is a good chance they're not saved. Mm-hmm. Like they're without the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I don't think we know if someone is hearing the Holy Spirit's conviction or not, based on where we see them. Also, just side note, I don't know if I'll talk about this. We don't know where people started either.
Right,
you know what I mean? So how far have they really drifted? Like,
So
I think this gets to, you know, the responsibility of the Christian to lovingly hold each other accountable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really good. I think, and there's a passage earlier in Hebrews. I'm going to reference chapter 10. And when I say earlier, I'm going to reference chapter 10 in a second.
I was like, I'm in two.
And so no, sorry. No, it's like six or seven.
You have a special book of Hebrews?
I have the unedited version where he talks about, for those who have tasted like the common grace of like being in the body of believers, but they're not, and that they're not in Christ. And so, and it, if you, I think it's chapter six, where and it almost sound, that's where some people who believe you can lose your salvation base it in that. Yeah. And what he's saying is, no, they've experienced as close as you can, like the fruit of the body of Christ and the genuine care and the joy, that, but they don't believe. And then in so chapter 10, later on in Hebrews, he says, like, if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of truth, there's no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. So he's not saying you were, but you kept on sinning and you didn't repent, so now you're not.
Right.
What he's actually talking about is he's in 6, 7, 8, 9, he's been talking about the old covenant. He's been, you know, helping explain the tabernacle and how Jesus fulfills all this. And what he's saying is that in the verses right before that, he's talking about how the church, you're called to spur each other on in love and don't forsake meeting. And this is what can happen when you do those things, that you will drift away. You can drift away. Yeah. And then you are deliberately going on in sin. So it just shows you, like, there's, if you're deliberately going on in sin without repentance, then the Holy Spirit isn't convicting you. And so you aren't.
And he says Christ can't be crucified twice.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. He's talking. His whole message in this passage isn't about losing your salvation. Yeah. It's about the finality of the sacrifice of Jesus. So we can't take that verse to mean something else. But I was talking about this passage with, because we're going to be talking about this in Life Group and with somebody who's going to be facilitating. And he was talking about, like, people who drift and how do you get so far. And he was sharing an example of a friend who was leaving his family, who was a leader in a church. And he's like, how do I know? Like, is he? And here's what we don't know. I mean, if he persists in this sin and is not repentant, I would say there is valid reason for us to say he's probably
not. Yeah, yeah.
But even then, like, I'm not the Lord, you know?
Right.
And this is why the scriptures give us instructions on how to handle these situations, to go to our brother and present it to him. And then even if you get to the point, like, of where, like, hey, you Paul says, like, you treat them as if they're an unbeliever. He doesn't say they're not. And that's, we are not the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's, I think we are so busy trying to figure out, well, are they or aren't they? I don't know.
Yeah. How we treat them is clear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where their heart is not.
Yeah. That's a good point.
And we tend to focus on, let's debate where their heart is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like that you bring up Hebrews 6, because, you know, I would just say anyone who believes you, and I think I said this past Sunday, but anyone who believes you could lose your salvation must believe you can't have it back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if they're using Hebrews 6 to say that, it says Christ can't be crucified twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those, there are denominations out there that teach you can lose your salvation. They're cherry picking scripture if they say you can't have it. Mm-hmm. You can come back. Like, that's just not, there's no biblical support for that. I would suggest what Justin was saying, in that, you know, he's saying, that you haven't,
you don't really know
you
it.
You don't know it. You
right.
Know?
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's all not to say that you're not going to continue to struggle in sin. Mm-hmm. But it's,
no, yeah.
But, you know, like, how do you feel about that? Are you complacent about it? Mm-hmm. And I even, like, use the example of, like, I've shared this one time before church. I had a friend who, that running buddy, he was a member of the church, and he was in blatant sin. He cheated on his wife, and we sat
previous
in a room.
Church,
previous church, not here. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying. And I have permission. I have, like, carte blanche permission to share this story for the rest of my life from this family. He sat across from me and was like, God sent this other woman to me. I was like, you need to stop right now, because that is, well, and he was at that time a professing, well, Christian. And then, you know, over time in relationship, I was like, I'm not turning my back on you, but this is clearly what scripture says.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit helped him see he was not saved. He came to know Christ. It did not restore their family immediately, but I remarried them and baptized them on the same day. And they're,
that's awesome.
You know, doing, so it's like, he wasn't in Christ. You cannot attribute to the Lord things that are clearly sin.
Yeah, right.
But this is how we restore people. We hold the truth and we help them see the grace of Jesus, and it's on them whether or not they receive that or not. Mm-hmm. You know?
We like to level or qualify people's sin too, you know? And so I think you bring up a good point. We don't know ultimately where someone stands with the Lord, but we do know what we're supposed to do in that time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we need to focus on that. Backing up just a little bit, this last Sunday you talked about kind of the undercurrent of people drifting was unbelief.
Yeah.
And you used Hebrews 3:12 for that. Right. So can you unpack that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, Hebrews 3:12 says the reason people drift away is because they don't believe.
Yeah,
don't.
Take care, brothers, there lest you go. There be all right. any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from living.
Yeah, right. So, so I didn't come up with that. yeah, I think we you know, there's truth in the nuances of our lives, but they can never allow us to stop from dealing with the ultimate root issue of belief or unbelief. Mm-hmm. Like people who've been, we were just talking before we got on here about some people who've had some church hurt, and like, their hurt is legitimate.
It's real.
Mm-hmm. And they probably, some of them actually need to talk to someone who can help them process through that. But if their response to all of that was, I'm not going to do what God wants me to do, that's unbelief. That's coming from unbelief. That's coming from somewhere they don't trust the Lord. Now, again, I'm not saying what that looks like in every situation, so I want to be sensitive to that. You know, but let's take marriage. You know, when somebody commits adultery and isn't repentant and continues down that road, in some way, they don't believe that God will make them happy. They don't believe they can trust God's plan. Like, at the root of all that, just persistent falling away, disobedience, is unbelief. Is a lack of belief, pisteo, right, I think, in some of the places, which basically means faith. Like, it's faith, a uniting. No. Mm-hmm. Belief is also, it, sometimes it's that word, like, it's a uniting with God. And I think
so. It's not. You mean unbelief in, like, trust. The gospel faith. Of Jesus, faith. Or just trust faith. In his promises, like what he said, or all of it.
It could, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to, I don't know where this was taught to me somewhere along the way, but they were basically saying, like, you can actually trace the root of all sin to the sin of unbelief. And it's not trusting that God is who he says he is and will do what he says he That's will good. Do, mm-hmm. that all of his promises are yes in Jesus. And so you think about sinful anger. You know, and I differentiate like righteously. Like sinful anger is actually like, if I'm that way, I'm actually trusting my ability to enact justice more than God. Like trusting that he actually will act in a way that is just for all of eternity, where I want to see it happen and according to my terms. Yeah. I'm trusting myself. You know, and so like, you're like, okay, well, that's a silly perspective. Yeah, when you say it out loud, it is. But inside our heads, it seems real. And so you take something like anger, like in scriptures talks about that drift of anger, that sin, it grows into bitterness. You know, like that, all of that, like we have to be so diligent in letting the Holy Spirit sift our hearts so that those things don't take root in us. Because I think that is what, like when you mentioned that parable, like the thorns are gradually, that's exactly what happens with drift. It's like these seeds of unbelief, no matter what it is, whether it's, if it's sexual sin, are you not trusting God's sufficiency and it's unbelief in God's promises and that. If it's materialism, like you're truly not believing that God supplies all of your needs according to his riches and glory, including material things. And so you can continue to just peel back the onion or dig deeper, or whatever analogy you want
to
have.
Well, I think to answer your question, so you have these different like areas where you might not believe. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, perhaps the reason you don't believe in these little areas is because you ultimately don't believe God. Mm-hmm. So it could just be you're struggling with belief in an area, or it could be ultimately you don't know who God is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do think there's a great wisdom in what Paul says when he says, if God did not spare his own son, how will he not with him graciously give us all things? Like, back to don't neglect the salvation. Like, he's saying, if you believe that a holy God sent his son to die on a cross, even though he didn't deserve that at all, so that you could go to heaven. Mm-hmm. And actually, there's nothing you deserve, but he just loves you enough. If you believe that, then why would you not trust him in other areas?
Yeah.
And so maybe the reason you're not trusting him with, I mean, giving, people make such a big deal about giving. And I know churches become materialistic and all that stuff, but like, come on, at the end of the day, like, you just don't believe that God will take care of you and you will be as happy if you give that money.
Yeah.
But you believe he died on the cross for your sins? Like,
yeah.
Like, that doesn't
really.
They can
choose what's easy to believe.
So my point is, like, maybe you really just don't believe the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that, but as a brother in Christ, I should talk to you about why do you not believe this aspect?
Like what really is real.
Good.
That is very good.
Yeah.
So that kind of leads us to the next thing when maybe we're having those conversations with somebody or somebody is drifting. Like what do we do about the drift in church and our friends and our family?
You tell them stop.
Take care, brothers.
Take care, brothers.
Take care, brothers.
Like sketch from Tuesday. Yeah. Hey, brother.
So in the church, what do we do?
Not Macho Man, Hulk Hogan. That's okay, sorry. Anyway.
I mean, several things, but the first is we are engaged. And when we're engaged actually like open ourselves up to accountability. And then we also speak the truth in love. Like not in judgment, but in love. We speak the truth.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times what happens is we drift usually happens if someone's, let's just say someone's has been engaged, like they're not just here on Sundays, but they're involved in our context, a life group. That first step away is usually from community. Like they will disengage from close relationships.
Yeah. Often go to a new one too.
Yeah. Go to people don't know me and then
the radar.
So that's like the first like warning sign. There's a valid reason because of life circumstances. Okay, so that's the first thing. When someone starts to disengage on that personal level, we need to
where you at?
As much as it is,
where
you know, you been? As far as it's with
haven't
the
seen
piece,
you in a
that's
while.
Right. Hey, what's going on? And then a lot of times too, when then they let's say they do open up.
Why are you ghosting us?
Yeah, that's right. But let's say they do
just
open up.
Just take all
up.
The dating lines. And just use them in the context
right,
of church.
That's right.
You left me on
slide into their DMs. Right. Yeah. We then when they do share the reason why.
Sorry. Okay. I don't
we
know
drift
that
away
Justin,
from our thoughts.
He's trying so hard right
I'm
now.
I apologize.
Closing my eyes.
This is what old Boggy Talk used to be like before you.
All right. Okay.
But we really did just lose
so
it.
Sorry.
It just like, no.
I'm sorry.
But they when they
they disengage.
What happened, they disengage. Yeah, yeah. And then let's say they start to talk and share. What happens so often is then we validate the reason rather than like, okay, I get that.
Yeah.
But
right.
How are you going to navigate that and stay connected or stay and open? And then like one or two choices. They'll either receive or
not.
You're not in control of that. Now you are in control of your tone, your voice, how you approach. You are in control of the relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, not in control, but how you, on your end at least.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be willing to do that.
I think people are scared because sometimes like the answer to someone's situation isn't black and white in the Bible or like yes and no. But and maybe this will help some people. I do know some people in our church do this. Like I think it's more of our responsibility. Now sometimes it's black and white.
Mm-hmm.
More of it's our responsibility to be like, okay, Kelly, I hear you guys aren't coming to church as much. You're doing, you know, travel thing or you're somebody sick. Like, help me understand how you came to that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I want to hear is how the Holy Spirit and how the Bible are informing the decision you're making.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't necessarily, I'm not in your shoes. I don't necessarily know
how
doing what the Bible is called should look in every situation. But I think people are scared to, they're like, well, that's their life. That's their story.
Yeah.
You do you. No, we love them. Like, I want to make sure my brothers and sisters in Christ are listening to the Holy Spirit and reading the Word when they make decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or people just assume like, well, it's just going to be this little short season and they're going to come back and they don't continue to follow up with that. And then it's like, well, now we don't really know each other. Like we don't hold ourselves accountable on what we need to be doing with them too. We just kind
of
let them.
Yeah. I mean, I can think of a number of times I've heard over the course of ministry where someone has disengaged and then people are like, well, when I first disengaged or word, no one called to check on me. And my gut reaction is like, grow up. That's not the right reaction. I'm telling you, I'm not saying, but like also we should follow up with people and so I think like, and you know, I'll use a situation recently. There was somebody who we know is in our church who was going through like just a lot of rough things and so my wife was just like, hey, to some other women, was like, we really need to like, this is a point, all these things have been like one thing after another could cause her to be like bitter towards God, to walk away. Like she's grown so much in her faith in the past few years. We need to proactively be like, smother her with the love of Jesus, mm-hmm. take care of her, to provide for her so that she understands how much God loves her. And, yeah. you know, I think if we're doing those proactive things too, that helps people when they do struggle in those seasons that we're like, hey, we can do, like, okay, I get it. Like, God yeah. is with me, because I may not even feel that right now, but I know yeah. his people are with me, and that helps.
Yeah, I've heard people say the best way to speak the truth in love is for your relationship to be in love.
Yeah,
you know, centered,
I
not like
say
not
a casserole.
Like, no, but
the
centered.
Truth and love
yeah,
is
yeah,
a casserole.
Centered in love, and
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right. I'm not a huge Jenny Allen fan, but I saw somebody sent me something of her like talking about how we need to make casseroles again, like this yeah. generation. And I'm like, that is so true.
It is. Like, we just need to like
terrible practical. Food that yeah. says I love you.
Like, even if you don't eat it, like
the, I meant the thanks for the casseroles.
Yeah, no.
I do not like casseroles.
No one's gonna make you a casserole ever again.
I don't like the food mixed together. You know, I like my food separated.
Separated.
We'll bake you some chicken.
Yeah, I'll mix it together if I want to. Anyway, sorry.
Oh man,
except
no,
for Chipotle. That's a casserole, really. Yeah. Chipotle.
Chipotle. Yeah. It's not
a
casserole.
It's a Mexican casserole. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, going back to what do? Like, we do what the Bible tells us to do in terms of relationships.
I love this topic. Really, is kind of the heart of Boggy Talk. Like, mm-hmm. this is kind of boggy. Like, there's some clarity yeah. in it, but also. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're called to live in this bog and mm-hmm. figure yeah. it out. And sometimes the water gets muddier as we do that, mm-hmm.
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we do have a question.
Okay.
That
all
you
right.
had. So we're kind of talking about this drift thing yeah. and how it was one way, and then before you know it, it's something else.
Yes.
So why don't people...
You're trying not to laugh as you ask this question.
Yes. Why don't people dress up for church anymore? Has this contributed to... drift of the church?
So many thoughts.
So let me start. Do you think the Apostle Paul shopped at Sears?
not really. So I, yeah, no.
What was the Hebrew Sears?
Yeah, let's understand that the context of this question is someone who's thinking about an experience when America mm-hmm. seemed to be more of a Christian nation. Mm-hmm. People seemed to go to church more. People seemed to have biblical, maybe actually mm-hmm. just conservative values, and looked a certain way. And were probably white for the mm-hmm. most part.
Yeah.
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 So in their context, you know, what they're mm-hmm. asking. So so that has to be the full framework, right?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. people have not all done that. But yeah. I mean, I think you could say in our country, mm-hmm. is there some correlation?
Maybe. I think, you know, I just think we, in church culture, and specifically, like, in the shift of this started probably more in, you could trace it maybe back earlier to the Jesus movement, but really in the 90s with the growth of the contemporary church model.
Rick Warren. It's all Rick
Warren's fault. Started wearing Hawaiian shirts, yeah, and then yeah. look what happened.
That's probably been,
you know.
There's probably a book about that right there. But anyway.
So, like, the
somebody told me Rick Warren was the Antichrist one time. You know that? Seriously.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not joking.
My word.
I was like, whoa.
That's
I was at breakfast.
That's quite the accusation. But that shift of being mindful of people who aren't Christians coming to church, the seeker sensitive, like, so there could it be, yeah, maybe. I think ultimately just we as a culture don't have the same sense of what is reverent and not, and
yeah.
culturally. And it not that dress means you're reverent.
Right.
Either, because there were yeah. people who dressed up in suits and hats, and, you know, who outside
out
of church did not. Yeah,
lot,
exactly. So, I mean, I do think.
Hid their alcohol. And
you know, if we're, and it doesn't matter what type of clothing you're wearing. I mean, if you're wearing something that ultimately is like your heart is to draw people's attention towards you, then
yeah.
maybe, you know, like that can mm-hmm. happen no matter if you're dressing up or dressing casually, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, God is looking at the heart in this. I mean, we do need to dress appropriately, but I mean, it's so true, right?
He's the worship
yeah.
pastor. He's had to have those platform conversations
yeah,
before.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
I just don't, I don't know that, I mean, I don't know that this is a causation thing. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's correlation without causation.
It's just
maybe.
But
yeah, I think our culture doesn't dress up like they used to. You know,
no,
like it's
right.
not just
yeah.
about the church. Like,
yeah.
I was, you know, people to the office are wearing, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah.
It's when women wore pants, man. That's when it started.
The slow fade of culture.
The slow fade of the pants.
I think this is important because I do think, like, we get into counter narratives so often, and the meta narrative is gospel and fidelity to scripture. Mm-hmm. I get pretty passionate actually about the alcohol issue, because I understand why people think people shouldn't drink. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's an okay opinion to have, mm-hmm. but when you begin to teach that as scripture,
right? Yeah,
you're beginning to say, okay, we're going to elevate man's mm-hmm. execution of this, and that's really what the Pharisees were doing right. with all their oral law. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is like your whitewashed tombs.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. So I think
the outer garments. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think the drift happened more before, when people started saying, "Well, we're gonna try and look different than the world," mm-hmm. and that's our intentional effort, versus we're going to be different than the world because of Christ.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
So, yeah.
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 All right, well.
There you go.
So
now we know.
So I don't think it has contributed to drift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I'd agree.
Yeah.
All right. Well, have anything else you want to add?
I think we have drifted. We have moved around a lot in this conversation. So,
Justin, yeah. please yeah. keep us on. Stay on.
I will anchor us.
Anchor us. Thank you. Yeah. Well,
hey, and this Sunday, by the way, I'm going to be talking about how we kind of talked about it. Just maybe a little teaser. I'm going to be talking about how like people drift and they use intellectualism and mm-hmm. they use philosophy and they yeah. use even religion as kind of a vehicle for their unbelief.
Mm, yeah. That's good. Yeah. That's going to be great.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a wonderful series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll let you know afterwards.
Positive.
It's going to be great. And if you miss any of the sermons and you want to go back, you can listen to them on our podcast. If you have any questions for us, you can email me at kelly@churchonbayshore.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.